course, English and English.
Alright? The day of the Lord. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty, remember the law of my servant Moses, the decree and law that I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of that the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Now, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25.
Job accepted Jesus as his son. This is our birth of Jesus. Matthew did not come about it. His mother, Mary, was likely to marry Joseph. But before they come together, she found that she was pregnant. For the Holy Spirit, fearful in law, and yet did not want it to explore her to public, this agreement he had in mind to divorce her qualities. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in his dreams and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid in St. Mary, for as your wife, because what is received in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give his name Jesus, because he will save people from sin. All this took place in faith of what the Lord said through the prophet, and the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God will be with us. But when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do. He took Mary home as his wife.
Amen. That is great. Father, you are good. We're amazing. Father, I thank you for Paul and his decision to be with you, to walk with you. This challenge to come here with me and share your message. As we just said, you take us as we are. You bless us, you save us, you transform us in what you want us to be. So Father, bless us now. Thank you for your message. Thank you because we're here. Amen. Thank you. How do you cope with silence? Don't say that's the best message that you ever said. How do you cope with silence?
Easily.
I think Shelly could like do 2 minutes.
Three.
That's a step of faith. How easy is for you to be quiet? For some people, it's easy than others. One thing that I know that Zizi can agree with me is that when you are a foreigner in some place, it's easy to be quiet sometimes. But it's hard when you want to listen something, or when you want to listen a direction or a guidance, or when you are expecting someone to say something that will help you, and you just don't know how. It just doesn't happen. Have you ever was waiting for a direction and that direction never came? Have you ever gone waiting for something, someone to say how to do something, or someone to explain how to do something and you never get it? Can you imagine a life of silence, but not because you want to, or because you enjoy to, but because the other part didn't speak? I know that many people that are married now are relating to that. Yeah. No, not here. I know everybody lives a perfect marriage. But I mean, I remember when I got married, the pastor came to me afterwards and said, look, you will never have an argument, but sometimes you have just too much intimacy that you need a time. But the thing is, the text that I read, Malachi chapter 4, is the last chapter of the Old Testament. But when that text, when that last bit of the Old Testament came about, was the last inspired word of the Old Testament, was the last time that God spoke to earth on the Old Testament, was the last time that anyone on earth heard or was inspired or was touched or was blessed or was reached by God on the Old Testament. After that came a silence. After Malachi chapter 4 came a silence throughout the earth where no inspired word, where no inspiration, no prophet, no message, nothing happened for 400 years. Wasn't 1 year, 1 hour, few days, weeks. No, 400 years where God didn't speak with earth through prophets or message or inspiration or revelation or visions or angels or anything else. 400 years. Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. Can you imagine in a time where just 3% of the population could read? And even a smaller number of people could read the text in the Old Testament. On time and a culture where they shared what God did verbally, orally. So they would see it together and they would talk and they would share what God was doing in their lives and what God did in people that they know. But can you imagine when instead to say, look, let me tell you what God did last night. Or like we just did before, let me tell you what God is doing on Tuesdays or what He did a few weeks ago when He made His commitment. Can you imagine when people started to say, let me tell you what God did 200 years ago. And then people would ask, but what since then? Oh, nothing. 300 years ago, 400 years ago, in a time where when someone was 30 or 40, they were considered that they were getting elderly. Because they lived until 50 maximum at that time. Normally. Can you imagine 400 years without no answer from God at all. People were hopeless, tired, no hope, no grace. They were feeling no forgiveness. They were feeling like abandoned by God. They were feeling there's no hope anymore, no guidance, there's nothing for me. I'm lost. I'm alone. No one understands me. No one helped me. And God, where are you? Because no one knows for 400 years. Totally hopeless. That was the situation after Malachi chapter 4. That was the situation that they were having. Just doubt, no, nothing about assurance. Assurance. Nothing about it. But then something happened. Something that changed the balance totally. Do you know what it is? Jesus. Look to the person next to you and say, Jesus breaks the silence. Jesus breaks the silence. Jesus breaks the silence. That's what happened. In Advent, what we celebrate is that Jesus, the advent of Jesus coming to earth, destroyed that silence. 400 years, and then an angel appeared to Joseph and spoke to him. God spoke through Joseph, and was God coming back to speak to people. Amen. Everything is restored in Jesus. Every hope is bring back to life in Jesus. And God is not just around, but He's inside of us. That's why we celebrate when we have Jesus. No more silence.
Amen.
No more distance. No more I don't know what to do. No more wondering where God is. When we have Jesus, the Word is with us.
Amen.
And that's what John says. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word came.
Amen.
And no more silence. No more silence. And I would like to share with you today, because we are advanced in time, a few things that God spoke through that angel. I could spend hours talking about no more silence.
Yeah.
Don't be concerned. I'll not do it. But the first thing that an angel said is, don't be afraid, Joseph. Don't be afraid. No more silence. Don't be afraid. No more distance. Don't be afraid. No more loneliness. No more despair. No more unchangeable situation. No more behind the veil. No more once a year with God. No more forgiveness to animals. No more half measures. From now on, God is with us. Don't worry. Do not worry. Do not be concerned, because the Word is coming to earth, and the Word will change everything in our lives. That's what the angel said. That's what God is saying. Don't worry. I don't know the situation you face when you leave through that door. I know at the beginning of my ministry how many times I came to preach when I was dealing with depression, and I was almost dying, and I entered through the door and took my nice face and praised the Lord and preached it, and when I went back the rest of the day I was in my room alone and quiet. I remember last Friday when I was praying and I was saying, Lord, I'm praying for my uncle. And every time that I talk about God with my uncle, he makes fun of that. And he just said the worst words you can imagine, but I love him, about God. And he made fun of everything. And I was saying, Lord, I'm praying for 14 years. And I can't see a sign of hope on that. And I was praying on my bed, and I just remember, and God just spoke to me about this text and said, don't worry. Maybe your 400 years of silence is 14 years, Luis, but don't worry. My son is acting. Things will happen. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Maybe you are just waiting and say, Luis, but you have no idea about the illness that I'm facing. I can have no idea, but let me tell you, God is asking me to say to you, don't worry. Louis, well, you don't know how my relationship with my husband, don't worry. You don't know my financial situation, don't worry. But you don't know what the lawyers are saying, don't worry. You don't know who it is, I don't know, but God knows. And the message today to you is, don't worry. Don't worry. Because there's no more silence, there's no more distance, there's no more babies. With Jesus among us, we can be assured that we are not alone.
Amen.
Don't worry. I don't know what it is. I don't know what is happening. I don't know if you are praying for someone, your uncle, or your son, your daughter, your father. I don't know, but one thing I know, don't worry, because there's no silence anymore.
Amen.
There's no more. God is not asking. He is.
Uh-huh.
Not from a distant throne, but He is right here, right now.
Amen.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Louis, but it's 400 years, 14 years. I don't know. I prayed for healing for 20-something years. It's taking a long time sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But don't worry. He knows. He's not ignoring. He's not distant. He's there. He's there. With His hand wide open, say to you, just hold here, son. Just hold my hand. I'm here. I'm here. But not alone. The second thing that He said, don't be afraid, God is with us. And then He said, because you will have a son, and He will forgive the people their sins. Today we celebrate communion, the Lord that forgave our sins, that took our place. You know one thing that I know, I don't know, do you like movies?
Yeah.
I love movies, no matter how we watch movies, a lot. And one movie that I really like is Saving Soldier Ryan.
Private Ryan.
Brazilian. Saving Private Ryan. And you know, one of the scenes on that movie, the last scene, I think, when the anyone here has no idea what I'm talking about. This movie is Matt Damon, that is a soldier, and he went to the Second World War, and he lost two brothers. And then America sent a lot of people to rescue him. And by the way, Hollywood spent a lot of millions trying to rescue Matt Damon, because almost every movie he's left behind. Yeah, The Martian and every other movie that he's left behind. But then people go and a lot of people die rescuing this guy. And finally they got him and they bring him back, and I think he's the only one or just one more alive with him. And then at the end of his life, he's very old and he goes to the grave of the man that saved him. And he remembered that when the guy died, the guy looked at him and said, make it worth it. What everybody did for you, make it worth it. And when he was there old on the graveyard of that guy, he started to cry and looked to his wife and said, just say it's worth it. And let me tell you something, that's less than what God did for you. Because God didn't come to earth and die. Jesus didn't come and die for you and then look to you and say, hey, make it worthy and walk really well. He died when we were enemies. He died not knowing if we would make worthy or not, but He said, even though you are worthy. Not because of anything that you may do, not because of anything that you may learn, but because you are my son or my daughter. I love you. That makes you worthy.
Amen.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Today, we need to understand He took our place to give us His life.
Yes.
Don't accept anything else. In Advent, when the advent of Jesus comes to earth, He destroyed the silence, He destroyed the lack of faith. We have eternal life, and let me tell you the best news, that's already started. We are already in eternal life. One day, I'll be released from this body, and I'll be just with Him, but I already started eternal life. God is with us. Hope and life comes together with the joy that we can share with the world.
Amen.
We are not anymore with lack of faith or lack of life. Jesus is right here. And the last thing I'd like to share with you today. And for me, I love when the angel said, finishing Matthew 1. And then actually was reminding the prophecy and saying, the virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hallelujah. God with us. Jesus came. And you know that before Jesus, before the advent of Jesus, you know when someone would go to God's presence? Do you remember? Once a year, the high priest would go before God's presence in a place called the Holy of the Holies. And the Holy of the Holies was a place in a curtain of 7 centimeters. You don't count in centimeters, right? So you count in... You do? Okay, so 7 centimeters, that is something around that, was the thickness of the curtain. So not even light would escape. So the high priest, once a year, he would prepare himself, fasting and everything, for a month. And then he would just put a robe right here, and then just leave the robe outside with some bells. And he would enter the presence of God. Because if he wanted a sin, he would die straight away. And because no one could enter there, until next year, they would just push him. Not many volunteers for a service at that time, right? Let's be honest. Can you imagine? You come for a service, let's put a robe here. Yeah, well done. Come on. You see? But that's what he did once a year. When Jesus came, that veil was destroyed. So now, let me tell you the good news. God with us means not just the high priest or the minister or the superintendent or the church leaders, not just for them once a year. No, for everyone. God with us, when Jesus came to earth, he was destroying the separation. He was saying it's not just for the Jews anymore. It's not just for the high priest anymore. It's for everyone. For everyone. God with us means he wants a relationship with you and me. Look, I know I said that many times before, but I know it's hard to believe, but I played professional basketball when I was younger. A lot of ways ago, a lot of time ago, I was a basketball player. And on that time, I loved Michael Jordan, and I knew everything about Michael Jordan. I used his shoes, I knew what he liked to eat and how he liked to dress, and I did all of that. But even though if I saw him on the street and start to run after him and say, Michael, it's Louis! How do you think he would cope? He would run away and say, take this crazy guy, please, you know? And unfortunately, a lot of people know or have a lot of information about Jesus. But not many people are friends of Jesus. God Emmanuel means God with us. And you know that the root of the word Emmanuel, God with us, the root of the word means the ones that we put the hand in the same bucket with. The ones that share food with us. And let me tell you something. The root of this word means not just someone that knows about someone. Because let me tell you, we won't be eating a cake in a minute. You're not going to come and take half of my cake and run away, will you? I hope not. You can do, but you don't do that with people that we are not friends. But let me tell you a secret. When my wife is eating, sometimes she just separates the best part of something on a corner and eats the rest, and when she looks to the side, I know I'm the only one. You don't do that, do you? But I do that. And then God with us, because if he's not with us, you know, she would be really cross with me. But that's what means God with us. Is God with us is not just sharing the same place. It's not just giving us information. It's giving us relationship, friendship. It's helping us to know who he is. The one that we share food together. God. And we will see a video now. Bill, could you turn off the lights just for us to see the video better? But this video just shared who Jesus is. And I'd like to invite you to open your heart and really follow with that. And we will pray after this video. But please understand God with us. This is who your Jesus is. And he is the one that we are invited to be with today. I think we will not have the video, but today I would like to invite you to have a moment of prayer with me. The silence is broken. Your sins are forgiven. You are not alone. And in that we can rejoice. In that we can celebrate that our God lives. There's no desperation, no irreversible anything, because God is able and God can do. So today I'd like to invite you to close your eyes. And right there in your place, I'd like to invite you to pray with me. Our God is here. Our God is here. And He is bigger than our problems. He is bigger than our illness. He is bigger than the relationship situations. He is bigger than anything because He is alive. And today, He wants to invite you to know that there is no more silence. Maybe you are saying today, but Louis, you have no idea. It's 14 years or 30 years that I pray for something. But God is asking me to say to you, don't worry. He is right here with us. He is right here trying to hold your hand. And today, we are invited to open our lives to Him. So I'll be praying now. And I would like to invite you. If today you'd like to make a commitment with the Lord. If today you would like to say to Him, Lord, I want this silence destroyed in my life. I want to enjoy this forgiveness. I want, Father, to have not just knowledge, but relationship with God Emmanuel. I'd like to invite you to come here to the front. It's just a step of faith. It's a way that we can say to the Lord, Lord, I'm giving this step of faith, saying to you that I'm deciding to do that. And that I'm deciding, Lord, not to live in silence or to have silence, but I want more and more. It doesn't matter how much I have, I want more. It's to say, Lord, I want to enjoy this life of freedom. And Father, we want to share this with you, God in mind. I'm the first one to be here. So today you are invited. If you want to give this step of faith, then come and say, Lord, here I am. Now speak to me, heal me, transform me, touch me. Allow me to know that you are real. That we will be singing a song. And throughout this song, I'd like to invite you, come here to the front. And I'll be praying for you and me at the end of this song. In Jesus' name.
I want to be where your glory dwells, where your peace is found, and the Lord abounds, where your healing flows, where your word is known. Come and feel our love.
power. We need your grace. Not just to know that you can, but to see you doing. To be a live testimony of your action and grace. Holy Spirit of the Lord, pour out your presence and glory in our lives. And transform, Lord, everything that is dead, everything that is wrong, everything that is not from you, transforms in us and alive in us. God Emmanuel, we know that you are with us even when we can't see or listen, even when it takes time. But today I pray, may the silence be destroyed in our lives. May we be able to hear you, to feel you, to know you more and more. I bless every one of my brothers and sisters today. And I pray for a breakthrough in our lives, where your guidance and voice will be abundant. When freedom and intimacy will be the mark of our lives. That's what we pray for in Jesus' name.